What do you and I have that you did not first receive it from the hand of the Lord? Nothing. So truly God is great and greatly to be praised. Amen. Yes, he is. If you have your Bibles, please stand and turn to Genesis, the 18th chapter. Genesis, the 18th chapter. Genesis chapter 18. We're going to look at two verses, verse 18 and 19. Genesis 18, verses 18 and 19. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have chosen him that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him. You may be seated. The emphasis here is the God-man Abraham. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come boldly through your throne of grace, Lord, that you may fill me, Lord, with your Holy Spirit in a time of need. Lord, I just ask you, Lord, that you will hide me behind your cross, that I may only preach, Lord, what you desire me to preach. Lord, as always, Lord, when I preach, Lord, I need you, Lord, and I know, Lord, without you, Lord, I can't preach. But today, Lord, you have given me this message, Lord, for your people. And I ask as your servant, Lord, to allow me, Lord, to deliver your word, Lord, to your people without messing it up. I ask you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy this morning, Lord. I need you, Lord, in every facet, Lord, of this sermon, Lord. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you will give me the grace and mercy to allow me, Lord, to preach beyond my preparation. Because the Lord is in you, I live and move and have my being. And Lord, my desire, Lord, is to please you and you only and not men this morning. Grant me, Lord, the grace and the privilege to house in this earthly vessel, Lord, that is unworthy, the gospel, Lord, that you have prepared for your people. It's in your Son, Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen. I'm going to preach Genesis 18, verses 18 and 19. But I'm going to start a couple of chapters or three or four chapters up, and I'm going to walk you through or to chapter 18. But the lesson today or the sermon today will be about a godly man. Is it ever a time that we need to hear from God about a godly man is today. Saints, if you all had, y'all heard me give my testimony last week about how I was raised and what I went through. If you all went through the things that I went through growing up, you know without a shadow of a doubt that it's the gospel that change lives. Let me say that again. Without a shadow of a doubt, it's the gospel of the life of Jesus Christ reconciling sinful man to a holy God that changed lives. There's nothing else on earth. There's nothing else that I can tell you. There's nothing else that I can preach that can change your life besides the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's nothing else that can rescue you from your hopeless situation. There's nothing in life that can make you successful. There's nothing in life that can heal your heartache and pain. There's nothing in life outside the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today, a godly man, in order to be a godly man, you have to first love Jesus Christ to the highest degree. A human being can love anyone here on earth. In order to be a godly man, saints, you have to love Jesus Christ above everything here on earth. Saints, in order to be a godly woman, I know today I'm talking about a godly man, but in order to be a godly woman, you have to love Jesus Christ above everything here on earth. Moses writes to Israel in Deuteronomy 6 and 5, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might." Deuteronomy 11 and 1 says, "You shall therefore love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his rules, his commandment always." Luke 10 and 27, Jesus answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind." In Mark 12 and 30, Jesus said, "The most important commandment is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." So, we can conclude that the common denominator is what? Love. Love is what? The foundation. Not this earthly love that he's talking about, or we see every day, but God kind of love. Saints, I know that we hear all the time that God is a God of love. God is a God of love. But God love doesn't force you to sin against a holy God. Let me say that again. God's love doesn't force you to sin against a holy God. His love that he gives to us doesn't force us to sin against him. So if you have a warped view on this worldly love, we need to correct it today. Love doesn't cause a person to love another female. Love doesn't cause a male to love another male. Love doesn't call me to love someone outside of my wife. That's the world type of love. So God love doesn't force us to sin against a holy God. Young people, God love doesn't pursue or pressure in a relationship to have sex. It's quiet. Let me say it again. God loves in the area of a dated relationship doesn't cause you to sin against a holy God. God love doesn't tell me to tell my son to go out and sow his oaks before he get married. That's not God's love. Let's turn to Genesis, the 12th chapter. We're talking about a godly man. Genesis, the 12th chapter. Verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonor you, I will curse. And in you all the families of earth shall be blessed. That's saying a lot there. I know as Christians, we want to hold on to our political parties. I know we do. We won't say it, but we do. I know that we want to hold on to our social issue as Christian. I know that we want to hold on to our church tradition. I know that we want to hold on to the social gospel. I know we want to hold on to our education. I know that we want to hold on to the slave ships of Africa, but God is telling you, you must leave from these roots. Leave from the former life, leave from the life of your youth, leave these things alone and be totally sold out to Christ. That's what God wants from us. Stop depending on these earthly achievements and worldly values. A total, undivided love for Jesus Christ is the only way God can make you a godly man or a godly woman, a godly woman, in order to leave a godly legacy for your children. What are you saying? You can't hold on to God and hold on to the world at the same time. It's not going to happen. You can't hold on to political parties and hold on to God at the same time. You can't hold on to race and hold on to God at the same time. Think about it. As Christian, we walk in the church. We have our own agenda in church. We teach and preach our own agenda in church. And what we preach and teach don't have anything to do with the gospel. You can't serve God and man at the same time. We can't hold on to these things and serve God's saints. I know that that's not a popular view, but saints, people are going to hell every day. But today you come to the house of the Lord. We still teach and preach our own views. We teach and preach our own agenda, and we think God's going to bless us. Abraham, your identity is in Christ. Do you believe your identity is in me, Abraham? Saints, do you believe your identity is in Christ? Godly men, do you believe your identity is in Christ? What is going on? What is going on with the church today? What is going on with the godly man today? We had to beg and pry godly men to follow after God. We had to beg and pry godly women to follow after God. God has given us instruction, which is the word of God, but yet and still we do not follow him. But we still are godly saints. I know I'm not going to get a lot of amens today. But the old preacher said, amen, wall. Talking to the walls. If you're not willing to hate your father, your mother, your wife, your children, your brother, your sister, and even your own life, you cannot be my disciple. If you're not willing to bear your own cross, you cannot be my disciple. If you're not willing to renounce all that you have, you cannot be my disciple. Luke 14, verse 25 to 33. You have to count the cost before you follow Christ. Young people, count the cost before you follow Christ. Are you going to have a lot of friends? No. Are you going to be popular? No. Count the cost before you follow Christ. And I just an encouragement for the young people. If you want to follow Christ, you're not odd because you don't have a lot of friends. Because if you're going to follow Christ, that's how it's going to be. If you have a lot of friends and you call yourself a Christian, you are compromising Christ. I don't care what your mother or grandma tell you. If you have a lot of friends and you are popular with the world and the world loves you, you are compromising the gospel. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I come to see a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person enemy will be those of what? His own household. Matthew 10, verse 34 through 39. That his enemy will be those in his own household because he make the gospel his priority. That's a godly man. Saints, we have to stop compromising the gospel for people we think or say are important. What do you mean by that? If someone is violating the word of God, I don't care how up their own on the education sphere. I don't care how much money they have in the bank. I don't care what they're driving. I don't care what kind of house they have. If they are compromising the gospel, they're wrong. Saints, think about it. People are going to hell every day. Some of our children are not saved. But when we come into the house of the Lord, when we have an opportunity to give them a lifeline of the gospel, we give them our own personal view of our own agenda. Are you willing to give up everything to follow Jesus Christ? Saints, my subject, God alone is behind a godly man. God alone, by himself, is behind a godly man. And I'm not knocking education. I'm not knocking a fat bank account. I'm not knocking living in a nice house. But they don't take priority over the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, Abraham, you got it. Abraham is thinking, what a huge sacrifice for Christ. What a huge sacrifice for Christ. If you're going to be a godly man or woman for that matter, you're going to have to totally love God, totally sacrifice your life for God, and totally be obedient to God. Those are the three things. You got to love him. You got to sacrifice for him. You got to be obedient to him. You can't just do two. You can't just do one. It comes all three. You got to do all three. You got to be committed to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Saints, we wonder why the church is in trouble. We're compromising the word of God. Yes, I would start with us, the leaders. The church stands or fall on leadership. The family stands or fall on a godly man. The church stands or fall on a godly man. Okay, Abraham, I know it's a huge sacrifice. You must leave your country, like in 12:1. You must leave what? Your cousins. You must leave your father's folks. And then only will I show you the land and the blessing I have promised you. But you first got to leave these things alone. A lot of us are not experiencing the blessing because we want to leave these things alone. We still tied to our families. We still are tied to our family, even if they compromise or harm the gospel. If you're not willing to put your family over, put God over your family, you cannot be my disciples. If you're not willing to stand up for your family, for what is right, you cannot be my disciples. Turn to Genesis 17:5. Genesis 17:5. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. Saint, this is the reason why I have reconciled within my heart that my love for Jesus Christ is first and foremost. If I'm the only one that is doing what is right, or the only one that is following God's word, that's okay with me. Because what God calls sin is sin. What God calls wrong is wrong. And it doesn't matter to me if millions of people are doing what's wrong, because what God says wrong is wrong. Because now I am a slave to Christ. He's my owner. He's my taskmaster. So it doesn't matter if you are standing on the opposite side of me when it comes to right or wrong. As long as I'm standing on the Lord's side, as long as I'm keeping what is before me, which is in the Lord, I'm okay. Living for Christ changes you. People are shocked by the new you. You are like a new person. It's like having your name changed from Abram to Abraham. Godly men stick out. They march to a different beat of the drum. The beat is not cultural. The beat is Christ and His word. Saints, we say that we love Jesus. We say that we love His word. But what does our life reflect? There's no middle ground here. If you say you love Jesus, you're going to follow what Jesus says. If you say that you love Jesus, you're going to follow what Jesus says. Right? So it doesn't matter who's saying it. When it comes to the wrong thing, if the wrong thing is the wrong thing, it's still sin, right? So we worried about, this is so-and-so saying it. This is Mr. So-and-so saying it. This is Miss So-and-so saying it. So it must be right. No, if I can't put my hand on verse or chapter, it's not right. If I can't verify it through the word of God, I don't care what they're saying. There is no reason for us to think the goal in life, success in life, genuine happiness in life is directly linked to a nice house, good education, money in the bank, nice car, great entertainment, nice vacation, great friends, and influential social groups. Where is your love for Christ? What have you sacrificed for Christ? That's the question. Just in case you have forgotten, you have not seen the last of Jesus. Just in case you have forgot, you haven't seen the last of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because one day he's going to come back and he's going to judge justly. Saints, is our family can't get us underneath the judgment of Christ. Young people, our parents or grandparents can't save you. If God is not behind these things, it's considered rubbish. It is lost, Philippians 3:8. If God doesn't use these things, talking about education, talking about careers, to glorify himself, or if you don't use these things to glorify God, they're useless. Only, saints, God is behind a godly man. To be a godly man, there must be a total love, a total sacrifice, and a total obedience to Christ. Think about that, young people. There must be a total love, a total sacrifice, and a total obedience to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now let's turn to Genesis, the 18th chapter. Verse 18 and 19. In this passage, you will see God talking particularly to Abraham. God has chosen Abraham. God has commanded Abraham. God expects Abraham to be obedient to him and his word so that he may produce a godly family. Genesis 18, verse 18. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Our Holy Father, our Holy God, has created a blueprint for a godly family. And it starts with a godly man. It starts with the man, the leader in the home, the leader in the church. It starts with Abraham, saints. The home is where God instructs the parents to pass on love, godly value, godly principle, biblical morality, spiritual growth, instruction, discipline, self-control, respect, and honor to what? The glory of God. This is the home that we need to prepare for ourselves and our children. The task was given first to Abraham. Christians need to know that the blueprint for life that God has given us in order to accomplish this holy plan. Young people, you need to know this blueprint in order to live for Christ. You need to know a blueprint now in order to have a godly home. Saints, there's no doubt that growing up, and I look back, and like I said, you all heard my testimony. There's no doubt that God gave me his blueprint for a holy family through the word of God. There's no doubt. And if you all grew up with a father, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. God is the only one that can give a man, a godly man, a spiritual blueprint. Christians need to know why God created them and what is the ultimate goal in life. You all know it. The ultimate goal is what? To glorify God. Whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Secondly, and to win people to Jesus Christ. Matthew 20:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So the goal in life is to glorify God. The mission, the purpose in life is to make disciples. Our goal in life is, in other words, to reconcile what? Sinful man to a holy God. To tell people the only answer to everything in life is Jesus Christ. This family was created to be, talking about Abraham, Abraham's family was created to be a visible gospel to the unbelieving world with the end result of making disciples. That's the goal God has for our life. To be a visible gospel. To be a visible gospel to people who don't know Christ. And when they see the visible gospel in your family, they glorify God who is in heaven. What are we doing as a family? What is going on in our communities? What is the remedy for all this gang violence? What is the remedy for single parents? It's the gospel, saints. I know it's quite simple to tell everybody that the answer is the gospel, but I really and truly mean it, that it is Christ alone, His Word of God alone, faith alone, to the glory of God alone. And that's just not a phrase or a cliche to me. It means that Christ did it all by Himself. There's also, sad to say, a friendly fire on the holy institute of marriage in the church and inside the home. There are people trying to stop godly men from leading at home and inside the church, trying to stop them from leaving a godly legacy. Nobody, we know this, nobody can stop the plan of God. Because He said to Peter, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Matthew 16 and 18. Godly man should lead the home. Godly men should lead the church. That's not sexist. That's biblical order. That's not being a male chauvinist. That's biblical order. A godly man should lead his family. Godly men should lead the church. Can I say that without being sexist today? Can I talk about God's plan or God's design for the family and church without being a sexist today? Can I preach the gospel, what God had called all of us to do? And for men, we sit back and wait and be passive. And then when the women take over or do or perform at church, we get mad and say they want to take over everything. If we are called by God, do what you're supposed to do according to the scripture. Do what you're supposed to do according to the scripture. If you're an elder, teach and preach. If you're a deacon, serve. Do what you're supposed to do according to scripture. Because God is the one that calls you. God is the one that leads you to take these positions. So do what God has called you to do. God, holy blueprint, and the church has been rewritten by unholy, lawless, satanic principle from this world system that we live in. These principles and ideas are peddled by worldly psychiatrists, doctors, sociologists, colleges, teachers, and so-called preachers. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, Isaiah 5 and 20. Saints, you can get on whatever political bandwagon you want to get on. But whatever political bandwagon you on, once that political bandwagon go against the word of God, I'm going to go against that political bandwagon. Now, if you are in a political bandwagon, And when they go against the word of God and you sit there and compromise the word of God, you're not a godly person. Because when the angel of the Lord appeared to Joshua, Joshua asked him, which side you are on? You're on the left side or the right side? The guy said, the Jesus, the incarnate Christ said, neither. I'm here to do the will of my Father. And then we have the nerve to say that we have a ministry of reconciliation, but we are constantly choosing side between black and white and Democrat and Republican and social issue and this issue. We're choosing side, but yet and still we have a ministry to bring both sides together. Something is wrong there. You don't have the ministry of reconciliation if you're not bringing both sides together. That's something else. I don't care you voted for Trump. I don't care you voted for Obama. I don't care you voted for Bush. But once these people are against my Father, Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I'm against them. I don't care what your political outcome is. If you go against my Father, who saved me from the pits of hell, who turned my life around, who pulled me from darkness into the modern light, if you are against a person who has done that for me, I'm against you. Sorry, I'm not PC correct. I'm sorry. I don't, for the life of me, I can't understand why as Christians, we love the Lord. He heard our cry and we say things when they're with one group. Then we begin against another group, we say something else. I'm talking about black and white, in case you didn't know. If you are a child of God, and from one race, God created everybody, why are we so divided? Why are we so divided, saints? Our effectiveness is not determined by government, politics, or culture. It's determined by how faithful we are to Christ and His words. Our success in life is only determined by how faithful we are to the Word of God. Look at Genesis verse 19. For I have chosen him that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him. For God has chosen him. For God has chosen Abraham to do something. This something is not anything mystical, magical, or hard. God has chosen Abraham to follow something, which is his holy plan. We already know that God has promised Abraham two things before he had called him to do this something. We know that those whom God predestined, he also called. We know that whom he called, he also justified. We know those who justify, he also glorified. Romans 8 and 30. God has promised Abraham to what? Make Abraham a great nation in name. That's Genesis 2. Genesis 12 and 2. God has also promised to give Abraham and his descendant the land of Canaan. That's Genesis 12 and 7. We have to put these two thoughts together to conclude that if God has spoken, he will bring it to pass. If God has purposed it, he will what? Do it. Isaiah 46 and 11. God has given Abraham a promise, but there are steps to getting there. Abraham had to totally love God, sacrifice himself to God, and to be totally obedient to God. That's the mark of a godly man. They love God, they sacrifice their life for God, and they are obedient to God. That's the mark of a true Christian, period. That's the mark of a true Christian, period. So what is going on? What is God doing in Abraham's life? Listen to this. God brought Abraham from a culture of worldliness to a culture of holiness. The culture Abraham was born in, the family Abraham was raised in, would be known later as the Chaldean. Who are the Chaldeans? The Chaldean would become a direct threat against the children of Israel. God has chosen to make a new generation of believers with Abraham. God has chosen to erase the background, the hell-bound destiny that Abraham was headed toward. God has chosen to start with Abraham and make with him a new covenant, a new generation that will love and live for Christ. God did this for Abraham, and he can do it for you. God did this to Abraham, and he can do it to you. God did this to me. I know he can do it for you. A generation, new generation that God has given Abraham. A new generation to be a godly man. God didn't want Abraham to get his identity from his father's people or his mother's people. God wanted Abraham to have his identity in Christ. God has chosen to adopt Abraham to make his earthly and spiritual parents the triune God. That's what he did for Abraham. Abraham's identity was totally wrapped up and tied up in Christ. Think about it, saints. When we're at our lowest moment, when we're crying out to Christ, I don't care what color that person is that bring the gospel to me. When we're crying out to Christ, I don't care what political party that person is in when they're bringing the gospel to me. When I was at my darkest hours inside a home that was abusive, I didn't care who was the president and I didn't care what race I was. All I know that I was tired of being in that situation. All I know that I need a savior, a Lord and savior, Jesus Christ. That's all I knew and that's all I wanted. That's all I wanted. Human efforts, saints, cannot get you into the kingdom. No moral effort can get you into the kingdom. Changing your neighborhood cannot get you in the kingdom. No human effort can get your children in the kingdom. The calling has to come from Christ. It's Christ alone behind a godly man. It's Christ alone behind a godly legacy. Abraham's father realized this in chapter 11, verse 31. If you want the best for your children and family, give them Jesus, give them the gospel. If you want the best for your children and family, the only remedy is the gospel of Jesus Christ. If that's the only remedy, that's why I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God to salvation first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. Verse 19, that he may command what? Abraham must command his children and his household to do something. Abraham wanted to make sure that God would make a great nation of his offspring. He wanted to make sure God gave him what he promised. So Abraham commanded his children and household to do something. If you command something, you must see to it that they do something. Pay close attention to this something in this verse. Take seriously to this something. Make sure that you are doing something. Aim your life at this something. Be intentional about something. Fight for something. Protect them against something. Have devotional with them about something. Abraham was not casual, have a casual approach to command his children and family to do this something. It can't be casual. You got to sit down with your children and talk about the word of God. There's no way around it. That's discipleship. When they are dating, you got to teach them what the word of God says. When they get married, you got to teach them what the word of God says. there is, when it comes to teaching and preaching, there's something. There is no such thing as a small deviation from the gospel. There's no such thing in a hiccup when you're preaching and teaching the word of God. Either you are preaching and teaching accurately, or you're doing it wrong. But there's no small deviation of the gospel. There's no small deviation of teaching the verse properly. There's no small deviation for teaching your children the wrong thing. There's no small deviation that is directly tied to your experience. This is what we'll be teaching today. When I was young, this is what I did. And this is what turned out for me. When I was such and such an age, this is what I did. That's what we do. Because when we do this, we know that we can't give them the word of God because we don't know it. Because if we knew the word of God, we would give it to them. Amen. Because those that love Christ are obedient to what? His word. Those that love Christ are obedient to his word. Verse 19. His children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord. Abraham must command that his children and family members keep the way of the Lord. Godly men must command his children and family members to keep the way of the Lord. And I, listen to what happened to Eli. 1 Samuel 3 and 13. 1 Samuel 3 and 13. And I declare to him, this is Eli, this is the Lord speaking, I am about to punish his household forever. Why? For the iniquity which he knew, because his son was blaspheming God. For the iniquity that he knew, what our children are doing, we know what our children are doing. They are blaspheming the Lord. And he, talking about Eli, did not restrain them, did not correct them. So I'm about to punish his whole house forever because he did not restrain his children. Oh, when they get a certain age, you can't tell them what to do. These are priests. These are older kids. They're not under 18 either. They're under 18. I think that's an American thing that we can't tell our children to the truth because they're over 18. They're grown. You can't tell them nothing. You mean to tell me that grown people don't have to obey the truth? You mean to tell me that grown people do not have to obey the gospel? This is what God said about Eli's sons. Chapter 2, verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. Why? Because they did not know the Lord. What? The sons of Eli was considered worthless men by the Lord because they did not know him. That's 1 Samuel 2 and 12. So if you're not trying to know the Lord, you are considered what? And I didn't say it, the word did. Saying just living out the Christian life is a serious thing. Think about it, saints. Again, you heard my testimony. Why would I raise my children to grow up in the same environment that I went through? Why in the world would I do that? Why would I allow my children to experience all the heartache and pain and abuse that I did? So when I don't bring them up in the discipline and admonition of the Lord, I'm sending them back to that same environment because I'm only going to revert back to what I grew up in. Is that not the truth? There is no such thing, again, saints, is a small deviation from the truth. This something that I was talking about earlier is the keeping of the way of the Lord. What does that mean? It means that Abraham must remember at all time, without ever letting his guard down, without being friends with the world, to fear the Lord and to keep his commandment, that it may go well with them and with his descendant forever. That's Deuteronomy 5:29. What else? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words should I command you today. You shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk to them when they sit down in your house, and when they walk by the wayside, when they lie down, and when they rest. You shall bind them as a sign on your hands, and they shall be a frontlet between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and of your gates. And when the Lord your God bring you into the land that he swore to your father, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give you with a great nation and good cities, that you do not build, you do build on what they have given you. Deuteronomy 6:5-12. In other words, we got to be committed to the Word of God, and we got to be committed to teaching our children the Word of God. How do children and their family keep the way of the Lord? Verse 19, by doing righteousness and justice. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you, Psalms 84:14. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build labors in vain, Psalms 127:1. Anything built on their foundation will prosper. Talking about the rock of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it will never, ever fail. Think about it, saints. Young people. If you want to be a godly man or a godly woman, you got to love God, you got to sacrifice your life to God, and you got to be obedient to God. You got to love God, you got to sacrifice your life, meaning that you're going to be persecuted. And in Isaiah, the scripture says that he who depart from evil, he who do not hang around the crowd, he who is not popular, he who is trying to do the right thing, when he depart from that situation, he makes himself a prey to the world. Are you willing to be a prey for Christ? Are you willing to be put down for Christ? Young people, are you willing to have a lonely walk in high school? We are only a few friends because of Christ. Are you willing to do that? And young people, I say it with love. If you're not willing to do that, you cannot be his disciple. You cannot be his disciple. The scripture said that if you are ashamed of me in front of this world, I'm going to be ashamed of you in front of my Father. If you are ashamed of Christ in front of this work, the wicked and perverse generation, the day is going to come at judgment day that he's going to deny you as well. Righteousness, always desiring to do what is right, morally upright living, justice, living out the desire to do what is right and morally upright in a relationship to others. That's justice, saints. You desire to live a holy life regardless of how people treat you. In other words, God sent his son to transform our life. And Jesus is sending us into the world to transform the lives of people in the world. But it starts, saints, with a godly man. Verse 19, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised, Genesis 1:12, 1 and 2. You must follow God's design for his holy family to reap the benefit of his promise. The only way Abraham's ungodly legacy is counseled in him and in the life of his children and in the life of his family is faith alone in Jesus Christ. Abraham trusts that Christ alone could change his heritage of the Chaldeans to a holy heritage with Jesus. We must trust in God's calling, God's promise, God's working obedience in our life in order to live holy. God is the only one that can change your destination to hell. God is the only one that can change your destination to hell. God is the only one that can help you raise a godly family. God is the only one that can help you live a godly legacy. It's Christ alone, saints. It's not any faith-based program, although they can help, but they are not primary. The primary reason a person's life is changed is the Word of God. Is it hard? Yes. Do you have strength by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Yes. Do you have to do it alone? No. That's the wonderful thing about the gospel. The gospel is the good news, saints. The gospel, think about it. If I'm under the weight of sin, if I'm doomed to the pits of hell, if my life is messed up and jacked up, the gospel is good news because it releases me from under these yoke of bondage. That's why the gospel is the good news. God has called godly man or godly men to change a ungodly generation to a holy legacy for Jesus Christ. And we must not forget, to be a godly man, there must be a total love, a total sacrifice, and a total obedience to Christ. God, saints, is calling godly men for the family and for the church. God is calling godly men for the family and church. God is calling godly men for the family and the church. And the only way that we can be godly if we abide about the scripture and the word of God. Saints, the only reason we live as Christians is to glorify God. The only purpose, or the primary purpose, I would say, that we have on this earth is to make disciples. That's why we was created in the image of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to bring him to glory, bring him glory, and to share this glory with someone else. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father,